This is Invest Talk, above average investing for the average investor. Invest Talk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. And now, here's KPP President, Money Manager, Steve Peasley.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the Friday edition, January 30th of Invest Talk, the last trading day of the month today. Kind of an interesting day. As it says on our website, investtalk.com, Invest Talk, the radio show, is a place to become a better investor. We're hoping that's what you can get out of this show. We're all about common sense and letting reason and common sense be the guiding light, to prevail. There's a lot of loud noises in the financial world. More and more media voices are carrying their message through to consumers, yelling and screaming through the TV or the radio, but that's not how you're going to get ahead. And we're going to talk today about a couple of popular websites one's MarketWatch versus Bloomberg. Which one's better or not? I don't know if there is one better, but we're going to talk about that. But common sense, down-to-earth investing. On Invest Talk, we try to help you step back and look at the facts, look at the history, give you a little perspective. You know, that's what we try to do. Another means we have of communicating with you, of course, is our newsletter. It comes out weekly. Our weekly premium newsletter comes out every Friday. It came out today. I spent a lot of time on it to write it every week. Here's what we cover today. On the market, first up on the first section is called the market current market conditions. In this section, I summarize the market for the week and all the data. It was a data-packed week this week. The Fed earnings, the ECB, that's European Central Bank, weekly economic statistics, a lot of massive load of information. And I try to figure out what to do with it. How do we filter it? What is important? What's not important? You had a lot of intraday and interday swings in the market. Lots of volatility picked up for all of January. The market's down for the month of January. That's all in today's newsletter. And then I always in this section toward the end, I kind of hint at what KPP Financial is doing about all this information and all this data. There's a couple stock ideas section. And today we talked about, a couple of very diverse stocks, pharmaceuticals being one of the stocks we talked about. I give you a couple every week. And each week I have a portfolio management section, and I was warning against overconfidence, something that a common behavior in a lot of investors, being overconfident because you were right before, you're going to be right again, and market's going up and you get overconfident. Be very careful. Try not to get too overconfident. There's nothing wrong with being confident. Make sure it's rooted in common sense, in fundamentals. And on Consumer Watch, I talked about various websites you could go to check out car repair mechanics, whether they're good, bad, or indifferent. Now, if you'd like to try it for a month, money get back guarantee. It's less than $10 a month. Comes out every Friday to your email box. But now it's time to talk to you. Do you have a money question or a comment on today's investing climate? 888-99-CHART is how you can reach us during this 1 hour. You can do it anytime you want. Let's answer this question that came in before we started today.
Hi, this is Mike from Apple Valley, California. And I was wondering what would be a good ETF to invest in for the Japan area. Thank you.
Well, I only know off the top of my head one ETF for Japan, and I don't recommend it. It's not a recommendation. I'm not supposed to recommend any individual stocks. Kind of a gray area if you can talk about ETFs. But EWJ is an exchange-traded fund seeking the performance corresponding to the MSCI Japanese Index, EWJ. And I'm sure there's others. I just don't know who they are. And, Japan, have their own massive QE, a year ago, a little less than a year ago. And it really didn't do that much. The market is down from last June to today. It's still down, and it spiked down, and then came back up. And it's still lower than it was. So, take a look at EWJ. That's one of the ETFs that I know of that focuses strictly on Japan and Japan's market. Both offer homepages with market updates, news and stock quotes, and information on savings and lending rates. But what are the differences? That's MarketWatch versus Bloomberg. That's going to be one of our talking points today. And I'll tell you which one I use. I use one consistently and not the other. Okay. Also, did you see the GDP number out for the fourth quarter? Well, let's talk about that. Is it what happened? Why is it? Oh, let's say it's almost half of what it was in the third quarter. That doesn't sound good, does it? Well, we're going to discuss that. Things you should never buy. Got some things that you should never buy. There's an article I was reading. I want to talk about the tough January had. How tough was it? What was the problem? And I don't think it was all that tough, by the way. I mean, I really don't. And then, easy way to be rich. How about an easy way? Everybody wants that. Easy way to be rich. And I'm not talking about playing the lottery. I'm talking about investing in the stock market. But not playing the lottery, not winning it big. No. Investing in the stock market. Easy way to become rich. And it points out to something that I have been saying for years, and I have now some backup to what I've been saying for years, and that is experts are always wrong. And they are, and I'm not excluding myself. It's very difficult to be right, very difficult, you know. But, you know, when you hear it on the radio and all the experts are telling you to do X, Y, Z, don't do it. It's not a good way to go, not a good way to invest. That's what I thought about today we'd talk about. What do you want to talk about? Well, time to give me a call. Our market was down 247 points on the Dow, down 48 points on the NASDAQ, down 26 points on the S&P. And that was down a little bit more than it was up yesterday. I mean, we're talking very volatile times now. We are seeing 1, 2, 300. Well, maybe 300. 1 in 200 up and down days in the Dow, normal for the month of January. And we saw a little of that back in October, November, calmed down a little bit in December, then it came back to this. I think it's just what we're going to have to expect. That's just what we're going to have to expect. It doesn't mean the market is going to go down or up. It doesn't. You just expect more volatility. And it is a little bit more scary because too many people have gotten too calm. And there's some very good reasons for the increased volatility. We can talk about that if you want. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. You can reach us right now. Love to talk to you. Be sure to sign up or to become one of our Invest Talk insiders. You'll get instant access to helpful investment watch lists and chart lessons. You can open your library of webinars, our library of webinars, and updates providing valuable market information. It's pretty easy. It's free. And all you do is sign in with an email address. That's about it. Just sign up to go to investtalk.com. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. What's on your mind? What do you want to talk about? Well, where do you do your research? Everybody does research online. Where do you do yours? MarketWatch versus Bloomberg, a comparison. There's about 19 million unique monthly visitors to MarketWatch, and Bloomberg is 28 million. So Bloomberg is much bigger. But is it better? You know, I'm going to say no. Bloomberg has more information, by the way. I will say that. But in the way they present it and how difficult it is and how easy it is to compare, that's where I think MarketWatch comes out ahead. I look at MarketWatch every day, and I read the articles on MarketWatch a lot, and also Yahoo Finance. Those are the two I focus on. Bloomberg also has a pay subscription. You go to the pay subscription, and you get a lot more information. But see, having more and more and more information is not necessarily a good thing. You can get bombarded. I also like another website, which I think is an excellent free website for screening for stocks or sectors, and that's FinViz, FinViz.com. FinViz. I think their screener is really good, I mean, for being free and how to screen for stocks. So, you know, if you're looking for fundamental information, I really like FinViz. If you're looking for charting, free charting, stockcharts.com. I think you can build a chart. It's not as good as a paid charting program, but it is very good for what most people would use. So those are some very good websites. MarketWatch, Bloomberg, Yahoo Finance, and then for fundamentals, and screening, go to FinViz. Those alone will get you far ahead as far as an investor. Then, of course, you have to know what all the information means. That takes a little bit more time. Start reading some books, everybody. That's how you do it. Reading. 888-99-CHART. Okay, GDP numbers are out today for the fourth quarter, and it was up 2.6%. Do you remember the third quarter was up 5%? So it fell in half. But why did it fall? And some of the reason is because government spending was down, exports were down versus imports, and just slower economic activity. But it wasn't the consumer. Consumer stayed pretty steady. It was more capital spending that was the problem. Okay, and that really what it is. Now the Fed also came out. I mean, the government came out with another look at GDP, and they said, well, actually, if you strip out exports and you strip out government spending, it really was 3.9, not 2.6. Well, you know, that game, I hate when everybody plays that game, or anybody plays that game, stripping out this or stripping out that just to get a better number. How can you strip out exports, imports and exports? That's part of our GDP. Government spending, that's part of the GDP, whether they spend more or less. Because GDP is gross domestic product, goods and services in the economy. You can't not count something. Now, when they look at various numbers on a monthly basis and you want to strip out, you know, the very volatile food and energy, that is for a purpose to see what the underlying economy and that is fundamentally moving underlying those very erratic numbers, okay? But you still look at the erratic numbers. You still got to look at the top line. But doing it with the GDP, to me, makes very little sense other than, you know, self-aggrandizement. You know, that's I can't see any reason to do that. So the GDP went down. So that's it. Now, is it going to continue? The Fed doesn't think so. The Fed thinks that everything is fine. Remember, they just had a statement out this week. Everything's fine. I'm Portfolio Manager Steve Peasley. Give us a call if you want. The number is 888-99-CHART. If you'd like to get this program in the podcast form so you can play it anytime you want, well, go to investtalk.com. You can play it anytime, anywhere. InvestTalk.com, automatically downloaded. You can go through iTunes and TuneIn Radio and sign up.
Our InvestTalk podcast distribution made possible each day by KPP Financial. Our weekly premium newsletter comes out every week, came out today. Inside each week, there are valuable portfolio management suggestions. You can try it for yourself for a month with the money-back guarantee. Sign up right now on investtalk.com.
888-992-4278. That's how you reach me. We talk about anything financial. Your questions come first, always. Whether you have a stock strategy or just want to know whether you should convert from a traditional IRA to a Roth IRA, what should you do? We're here for you. 888-99-CHART.
Hi, Steve. Hi, Justin. It's Henning from Ukraine calling. Listening on podcast, as always, great show. Keep up the great work. I've got a question regarding Teradata, ticker symbol TDC. And I was wondering whether you could suggest a price point to get in for a long-term hold, 5 to 10 years, and what you think the outlook is for the data storage industry, whether it's actually in terms of economic cycle a good time to get in. Thanks again, and take care. Bye-bye.
Teradata Corporation, and be safe there in the Ukraine. I know there's a lot more violence is happening, and it's not really being reported much on the news out here in the West, and I'm kind of disappointed in that. I mean, come on. It is kind of important. But Teradata Corporation provides enterprise data warehousing, including enterprise and technologies and services. Okay, so it's a state of storage. They have been earning, raising their earnings every year. It's almost monotonous. Their earnings go up every year. Sales are kind of flattening out a little bit. Still positive, but kind of flat, only in the very low single digits this year. It's a $6.8 billion company, and I would say it's, you know, fairly priced. Fairly priced at $44.56. Not overpriced, not underpriced. It's going to make $3 next year. Okay, $3 times a normal PE of 15. Well, that's pretty simple, right? I mean, it's $45. Well, what is it selling for now? $44.55. So, long term, the future of this industry is very bright. It's just, it's going to continue to grow. Okay, who's going to be winners and who are not? Of course, you know, Teradata and those companies are going to be fighting, you know, companies like IBM and, you know, the behemoths out there. But I see no reason why it should not succeed. I don't see any reason for it. It's got a very good return on equity, not very much debt, good, solid company, good, solid fundamentals out of Dayton, Ohio. Just don't expect it to go very well. I mean, it's not going to, you know, it's not going to be gangbusters. It's just going to be very solid. I would feel more comfortable if they paid a dividend, but they don't. I don't know why. Let's go to Frank in Danville. How you doing, Frank?
Hi, Steve. Thanks for taking my call. I love your program.
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, I've been keeping an eye on the interest rates in the United States, primarily because of my mortgage. I have an ARM, and it won't adjust until 2019, mm-hmm. and so I've got a good interest rate of about 3.1%, and it makes sense that I would want to refinance if I'm concerned that interest rates will go up. I heard one economist say on the news that he thinks the interest rates in the United States will stay artificially low because, you know, in Europe and Japan and maybe even China, because of the economic problems they're having, mm-hmm. their central bank is going to keep interest rates low. And he says that because in those countries interest rates will be low, that artificially keeps the United States interest rates low. And I'm trying to understand how that, you know, how
that works.
The United States. Yeah, how that works.
Okay, it's not that hard, really. You know, because if you think about, you guys, sometimes you just got to step back and say, well, wait a minute, why is that? Why would that be so? Well, think about it. You're in Europe. You're an investor in Europe, and you want to buy bonds. You want to buy debt of somebody, any kind, mortgage debt, whatever debt you want. And you're thinking, right. You're looking around and say, where should I put this money if I'm going to buy debt? You know what? My currency is getting cheaper, whereas the U.S. currency is getting more expensive. Maybe I should go out to the United States and invest my currency, my money there, so when I translate it back to my own currency several years from now, even if the interest rate is almost zero, I will make more money in the conversion because my government's trying to make my currency cheap. So when they come and invest in our debt, they push interest rates down because there's more demand for our debt. More and more demand for our debt pushes interest rates down. The corporations and government, we don't have to pay very much. Why should they pay much? When they got so many people wanting the debt, they're not going to pay much in dividends. They're not going to pay much on and on and on, driving our interest rates down. Does that make sense?
Right.
Okay, so
yeah, it makes sense.
So, whoever you're listening to is probably right. Now, I was wrong on the rates a couple of years ago, and for a year plus, I thought, well, interest rates should start to go up. And, you know, with the QE of our own, you know, they kept interest rates artificially low, that QE. Now you have a huge QE coming out of Europe. Where do you think that money's going to go? You think it's all going to stay in Europe? Probably not. So he's probably right. That's probably going to keep pressure downward on our interest rates. Now, on the other hand, the Fed says they're going to raise rates later this year. But they could change their mind. They've done it before. Long term, 5 years from now, Frank, I think rates will be higher. But it'll be slow and glacial. Okay?
Even if the Fed tries to raise the rates in the United States,
they don't have control. They can only influence. They don't have control. They can only raise a Fed funds rate, which is the overnight rate. Everything else is market driven. So you've heard the saying, the trend is your friend. Let's talk about that on Invest Talk 101 coming up next. Now, I don't know if you remember the caller yesterday, but he called and wanted to know if he was, how safe he was in retirement with his current financial situation. And I told him if you send me all the information, email me information, and I'd do a retirement map for him. And the information I need is like age, when you're going to retire, how much you're saving, how much money you have, how much you're going to need to take out in retirement. And, he did send me the information, and I sent it back to him with the retirement map and, analyst, and really it was nice information. And he was fine. I'll do that for anybody. If you send me enough information, I'll be able to do that for you. And you can go start off if you want by taking the risk questionnaire on our website. It's only a few questions, but you send me your portfolio, how much money you have, how old you are, how much you're going to need, how much you're going to need to take out on a monthly basis, how much you're saving now, when are you going to retire? Just that basic information, I can figure it out for you. Kind of fun, actually. Tough January we had. Do you know what the market did for the month of January? Well, I'll tell you. The S&P was down 3.3%. The Dow was down 3.7%. And the Nasdaq was down 2.1%. And even though this January is more volatile than last January, it didn't go down as much as last January. Last January, it was down almost around 6%, almost twice as much as this year. But it felt just as bad because of the huge volatility we see in swings. So it was kind of the same as January last year. And remember I pointed out the statistics that 87 out of the last 114 years, January dictates what the year would do. So if January's down, the whole year will be down. If January's up, the whole year will be up. Was it true last year? I don't know if it'll be true this year, but January's down. And some of the reason we're seeing is, we've seen a lot of big layoffs, American Express, John Deere, a lot of oil companies, oil producing, oil wet drillers, they're laying off people. And I think that's just starting. We're just starting to see that. And maybe that's why it feels worse too. Consumers, however, are on the upbeat. Low oil prices means low gasoline prices. It means more money in the pocket. Jobs seem to be growing pretty well. So these layoffs are overshadowed by the jobs being created. We'll know more about jobs for January next week. We'll get the jobs report. And that's going to be interesting. Because, everything peaked out at some point. Did we peak out? And that's really what's on investors' mind. That's why January was choppy. The investors are asking, have we seen the top of this economic cycle? And because we're seeing some weaker numbers, look at the GDP. It was half of the fourth quarter GDP was half of what the third quarter GDP was. Why? See, so those kinds of issues worry investors. And that's what they're seeing. That's what we're dealing with. We're here live 4 to 5 Pacific time each day, Monday through Friday. If you're listening at the time, you can talk to me live by calling 888-99-CHART. If you're not, you can always still call the same number. It's open 24 hours a day, called our listener line.
Hey, Steve. This is Oscar from San Francisco. So wanted to see what you think about Lowe's and at what price would you get into it if you like it at all. Thank you very much.
Lowe's. That's L-O-W, I think, is the symbol. L-O-W, I think. Yeah, that's it. I think it's a great company. It's like Home Depot. Operates 1,800 stores, so it's a very good company. It's growing in the single digits, 5% or so sales, and earnings have really skyrocketed the last couple of years, up 20% or so. And because of that, the stock has really done well. Went from $45 a year ago to now it's $67. Just showing some little bit of weakness right now. Therefore, it's pricey because now the PE is 27. The five-year range of PE is 11 to 28, and it's at 27. Well, it's going to go up. The earnings are going to go up $3 to $3.27, up 22% next year. And that means the PE will be closer to 22 or so. Well, that's still kind of pricey. So if you ask me what would I think about the company, I think the company's great. I think it's a good company to have, good company to own. Great. But it's pricey. Right now, it's too expensive to buy. Be nice if I owned it, but I wouldn't go out and buy it. The difference is it's already run up. Now, it could continue to run up. It certainly could. But it's at its high range of the PE it's been at for the last 5 years. I'd rather buy it in the mid to low range of its PE for the last 5 years. That would be a better bargain. Now, that means the stock either has to come down, right? Or the stock has to trade sideways. Or earnings have to grow up even higher. That's what that means. Do I think one of those three things is going to happen? Well, I think the chances of the stock going sideways or down are pretty good. I think earnings are already probably peaking. So I don't think that's going to really skyrocket. I think they're already doing very well. So I think we need to wait for a pullback. You see how the logic and all that? Common sense, everybody. That's all I'm asking. Common sense look at the history of this stock and how its earnings are and how its sales are going to be. Common sense tells me it's overpriced and it'd be better to buy it when it's cheap, or at least cheaper, whatever that price will be. It's time for Invest Talk 101, a lesson on everyday investing. By the way, I try to make a lesson on everything we talk about as far as stocks, but here is something special. Being a watchful investor includes observing trends in the economy, in industries, and in the market. But when can the trend lead you astray? I'll have the answer coming up next.
What makes investors nervous? 4 times every year, companies report quarterly earnings. These reports can drive prices up and down and create uncertainty for stock investors. Something to ask Steve about? Call our 24-hour-a-day listener line at 888-99-CHART, and you can also leave a note. Click on Contact Steve on InvestTalk.com.
888-99-CHART, our InvestTalk 101 question, when can the trend lead you astray? When you follow it, chasing trends is a behavior many amateur traders, as well as professionals, make. Chasing the trend. One of the most common things I see is people looking at last year's mutual funds and saying, those are the mutual funds I'm going to buy this year. Another mistake, people see a list of the top 10 or top 100 stocks or top 20 stocks for 2014, and they think, well, I'm going to buy those for 2015. That's a recipe for lose money. Lose money. Not make money, lose money. And in fact, I saw this. Okay, I will bring that up later because I don't want to tip my hat there. It's a talking point. So do not chase after profits. Look for what you think is going to make profits next year. Look for what the sectors are going to be next year. Look for those sectors everybody hates this year to invest. Find those kind of good companies. You're looking for stability. You're looking for profitability. You're looking for sustainability. That kind of thing. And you're looking for mispricing in the market. Mispricing. Now, a lot of people are going to say the market never misprices. It prices perfectly because everybody puts a price out. Okay. I see the argument there. But I want people to be... I think people are emotional creatures, and sometimes even professionals, and they push prices up too high and push prices down too low. So I'm looking for the opportunity, and so should you. And by the way, that I see opportunity in the oil sector right now. And that's going to be a topic of our conference coming up a week from tomorrow in San Jose. Hope you're there. If you have questions or about this topic or any other topic you want me to talk about, well, call me at 888-99-CHART, or you can leave a message at investtalk.com. Just click on the contact Steve or contact Justin. You can also tweet me at InvestTalk on Twitter. And if you want to hear this program again or refer to someone else to it, you can, because I archived the last 10 shows on our website. Okay? Let's go to Robbie in Santa Clara. How are you doing, Robbie?
Hi, Steve. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I have invested in American Express at the rate of $87, but the stock was down. Can I hold this or can I sell that?
Okay, right now it's right at support, right around this number, right around $80, $79, $80. I'd probably hold it. If you've held it from, you know, 93 or so, it was the high, down to this level in the month of January, and that's what it fell, from 93 down to 80. You know, 80. I'd probably wait till it broke that low to see if it would. And this American Express, everybody, symbol is AXP. Provides charge, credit card payments, credit card, you know, that company. And they are still growing. There's really no reason why this is selling off unless we move into a recession. And then there is a reason to sell it off like it did. And that might be what, there's a lot of fear out there that might be what we're heading into. But the numbers don't support that right now. And the earnings are going to go up 10, 15% this year, next year. Sales growth about 5%. Good, solid company. It's right in the middle of its PE range. I would try to hold on to it, Robbie. I don't know what your long-term prospect. Do you want to hold this for a long-term? Is that your idea, or just wanted to trade it? Did I lose you, Robbie? Okay. Lost Robbie.
Do you want to hold this for your idea?
Okay. Well, you know, American Express is a great long-term hold. Pays a 1.3% dividend. Because, you know, long-term, it's probably going to continue to make earnings. I mean, and it's coming off its high. That's all. Now, can it hold this low, which is right around $79, $80, right where it is? We'll see. Let's get your voice in on the program for all of our money questions at 888-99-CHART. That's our number. You'll hear questions about stocks, 401ks, funding for kids' colleges. So we're open to all financial questions. Retirement, 888-992-4278.
Another information source to help you improve your investing skills and gain you some stress-relieving perspective is our KPP Premium Newsletter. It comes out each Friday, and one of the most popular features is our Stock Watch. At least a couple of companies are introduced to you to watch in each edition. To sign up, just go to investtalk.com today.
888-99-CHART. Now, here's an easy way to get rich in the stock market. I'm going to give you the secret. By the way, have you ever heard that term on the radio or anywhere? If you hear someone or you read it, there's a secret or special way, something that no one else knows. Okay, run the other way. There is no secrets. Okay, there isn't. But there's an article saying easiest way to get rich about investing. And right behind that article, the subheading was buy the most hated stocks. Have you heard me say that before? And I've always said that be very wary of experts or analysts. They're always wrong. Well, they did a study, and they went back and looked at the 10 stocks that were rated the worst last year by Wall Street analysts, and then compare that with the 10 stocks that were rated best by those same Wall Street analysts. And they did that last year, and then they went back 7 years before that. Just last year, the 10 worst rated stocks had a combined return of 19%. Remember, this is the worst rated stocks by analysts. Combined return for the year, 19%. Far exceeding their 10 highest rated stocks. Now tell me if the analysts are always wrong or right about that. Okay. Now, of course, that could have been a one-year fluke, right? But they went back for 7 years and looked at the same thing. And the 10 worst-rated stocks always strongly outperform their 10 best-rated stocks. I'm not talking about the market overall. I'm talking about analysts who say, okay, these are the worst ones, so don't buy these, and here's the best one, go buy these. And the worst ones always beat the best ones. Analysts are always wrong. You got to do your own homework. Think independently. And they wonder why these analysts get paid so much. Why do they get paid? They need to fire them all. Greg in Los Altos. How are you doing, Greg?
And they wonder why these analysts get paid so much. Why are they
paid? Greg, are you there?
Hey, Steve. Good. I got you on speakerphone. Can you hear me well?
Yeah, now I can hear you. Thanks. Yeah.
Okay, great. Hey, first, happy Friday to you.
Thank you. Super Bowl weekend.
Oh, man, go Patriots.
Oh, no, go Seattle.
Huge Niner fan here. But, hey, listen, Christopher, I'd like to get your opinion on a particular stock.
Okay.
And then also about the outlook for the industry. So I'm looking, I'm slowly been building up a position in a limited partnership called TNH, Terra Nitrogen.
Know it well.
Mm-hmm. Great yield on it. They've significantly pulled back over the course of a year or so. And I've been accumulating positions a little under 100 and now it's about 120.
Okay, we'll talk about that. I got to carry you over the commercial break if you don't mind holding, Greg. I'm sorry. TNH, we're going to talk about Terra Nitrogen, everybody. You're listening to Invest Talk. I'm Portfolio Manager Steve Peasley. If you're looking for a money management solution, please take a look at our select growth income programs. I think they'll be well worth your time. This is Invest Talk.
We're glad you downloaded our podcast today, Investing in and for Retirement. That's what InvestTalk is all about, how to fund and maintain your retirement plan, one of the most important decisions that you'll make. Do you have a question that you'd like to ask directly to Steve or Justin? Just go to InvestTalk.com and click on Contact Steve or Contact Justin, and they will get back to you.
Greg, you're still there, I hope. Greg? Greg, you still there? Hello. Got turned down the radio. I think he's obviously still there because I can hear myself in the background. TNH is what he wants to talk about. Manufactures fertilizers, including ammonia nitrate, ammonia-based fertilizers. Okay. Greg, you there?
Yep, I'm here with you.
Okay, so this is a very good company. The reason why they've had their problems is because of worldwide slowdown and glut of crops, but it's still a very good company. It finally turned around on the most recent quarter with sales growth of 5%. Before that, sales growth for four quarters in a row was falling, 20% a quarter. So it looks like we might be seeing a bottom in Terra Nitrogen, and I think that these are the areas that you're going to find opportunities. I mean, this stock makes $15 a share, and it's a $121 stock. That's a pretty good P/E ratio, pretty low. You know, so
right.
I kind of like it. Remember, you want to like stuff everybody else hates, and this is one of the areas they don't like. And this company is not going to go out of business. It has no debt. And it pays almost a 6% dividend. I like it.
Steve, on that note, would you recommend or provide, should I continue to accumulate position, and at what point do you think I should just stop at the accumulation phase?
Well, I would rather, if you had a $100,000 portfolio, I don't think you want to have more than $5,000 in any one stock. And you really don't want to be overloaded. And when you start doing that kind of thing, getting more and more overloaded, any one stock or any one sector, you could be a hero and make tons of money, or you can lose half your money. You're going to be one or the other, where you really want to control the risk. And so don't take too much risk in any one thing. So if you don't have, if you have 1% or 2% or 3% of your portfolio and you want to increase it, you could do it. Go up to 5% if you want, and I would feel comfortable with that. Okay?
Well, I appreciate that. Thanks, Steve.
Thanks,
and,
Craig.
The last word I do have to say is go Patriots.
Okay, good luck. Thanks, Craig. Appreciate the call. Let's talk to Will in San Diego. How you doing, Will?
Oh, pretty good, Steve. Just real quick, I know it's the end of the hour, but what do you think of ticker symbol V? Is it a good time to enter Visa at this time?
Visa. I like Visa. I like Visa. I like American Express, and we talked about American Express just a little while ago. Visa is, I think, a better company. It provides global payment solutions, support, credit cards. You know, it's Visa. They're going to make $12 next year after making $10 this year, after making $8 last year, 20% increase. In earnings, about 7 to 10% increase in sales in the last 2 or 3 quarters, and it's been pretty consistent. And because of that, the PE is 27, so it's expensive. The 5-year range is 15 to 30, and it's at 27 now. I think it's a rule. This one, Will, you want to buy this company and put it in your portfolio and leave it there forever, but you want to buy it right. And I think it's a little expensive. Even though it was up today on a very big down day, up $7 a share to $254, so that's pretty positive. So much earnings must have came out, I'm assuming. Did that? Is that
yeah,
what happened?
It did.
Yeah. And their all earnings are always going to be good. Even in recession, their earnings were good. I mean, even in the 2008, 2009, earnings went up, not down.
So I should wait, though.
You kind of want to wait. It would be a nice if you get a better entry point. I mean, if you could get this, it would be really nice. You can get it around 220. That would be where I would love to get it. And that's about, 8-9% pullback from here? I don't know if you'll get it, though, Will. What you could do, if you're really anxious to get in it, buy a little bit now, but not your whole position.
Right.
Okay?
Okay.
Thanks,
Thanks
Will.
Thanks a lot, Steve.
That's Visa, bye-bye. Everybody, with a V. V for victory. Easy way to get rich. Just buy the lowest ones. I'm telling you, that's how you do it. Things you should not be buying, by the way. Don't buy razor blades by Gillette. I'm not bad mouthing Gillette. I'm just saying I use electric myself. But if you want to buy razor blades, they have clubs that you can get razor blades sent to you every month at a fraction of the cost. Had a couple of other ideas like that, but just something to think about. Save some money. Before we close for the hour, we're responding to the broad interest in oil. Sign up now for our Saturday Morning Wealth Conference on February 7th. That's 1 week from tomorrow. We're responding to that broad interest in oil for a particular reason. The upside of lower oil prices. What is it? It's February 7th in San Jose at the Hyatt House. Just go to investtalk.com. I'm Portfolio Manager Steve Peasley, and for Justin Klein and everyone at KPP Financial, I thank you for listening today, and we'll talk to you next time.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.